I'd join in, but I wouldn't sound anywhere near as good.
Welcome to the podcast, where Cher actually starts the podcast this time.
Whoa.
Okay. Oh, man. It is a new year, y'all. And some people are like, it's just a marker.
Which is factually accurate.
But, yeah, I don't know.
There is something to be said for the mental break. Like, even though it's just a marker, there's still a, mentally, there's still a difference. And that helps us as humans to deal with life better.
Yes, which I appreciate. I like it a lot anyway. So this week I actually have come prepared.
Ooh. Stop doing me, that's for sure.
But first, before I do that,
so that
I have some time to look up the thing. How was your New Year's?
It was good. We ended up with a whole bunch of like ground flowers and poppets and little fountains from your parents and some sparklers and stuff, along with a bunch of poppets. And the kids had an absolute blast with those, even though it wasn't anything fancy by any means. It was a lot of fun for them just to watch. They're still young enough that everything was blowing their minds, even if it wasn't this big fancy. They did ask for some of the ones that shoot up in the air, which we didn't have, but we did see a couple from other people.
Yes, which was nice, because we're cheap and we didn't buy fireworks. Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to do the poppets. We also got, did you already talk about the crackers? I think I missed
it.
We did crackers inside, like the crackers that you can like win. So it's like you pull on them and one person wins like the crown inside and then like a little toy.
Yep.
And there were like really clever. They were more clever than I'm used to.
The jokes inside?
Yeah, the jokes inside.
Yeah, they were actually decent jokes.
I'm like, these are not Laffy Taffy jokes, y'all.
Well, they aren't sold by the thousand either.
So, yeah. Yeah. It was very, very good.
Then we did a puzzle for 3 hours starting at 11 p.m. So we rang in the new year quite handily there.
Yes. We were stupid. That's what we were.
Well, I mean, I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it out loud.
Yeah. Okay. So we've been saying that we want to do a movie quote.
Oh dear.
So I was trying to come up with like a good one that I thought was funny, and I don't know which one I want to do, but I think I'm going to do this one because I've been thinking about it a lot.
Do it.
But I don't think you've seen the movie.
Well, that could be problematic, but hey, shoot your shot.
But I also talk to you about stuff. Okay, so the quote is, "I'm king of the globe," as a man. And then a woman says, "Jake, I'm flying. I'm really flying." And then he says to her, "So what? I'm king of the globe, fatty."
This has to be thumbtanic.
Yes.
Because it's
which I haven't clearly, seen in ages.
Clearly not the actual lines from Titanic, but close enough for me to recognize that it was riffing off of the lines from Titanic, which I also haven't seen that movie, but I also happen to know you hadn't seen that movie. So
you're like,
it can't be Titanic if it's one she's seen. And then there was all the parody stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. I know what this is.
Because it's I'm king of the world.
By reference, not...
Yeah. I have not seen that movie in ages, and
this is not an endorsement of the film.
No. Well, and the thing is, the thumb movies are quite crude in the humor and everything. It's not, I don't know. It's just not.
Not for distinguished gentlemen.
It's, I just feel like.
Or anybody.
I don't know. I just don't. As a kid, I was like, yeah, they're funny. And then you grow up and you're kind of like, they are funny, but it's like a certain kind of humor. And I'm just not into that kind of humor anymore. Like,
yeah. Well, and one of your brothers.
Not that I was really ever into it, but I just like, it was just kind of like, why did I think that that was funny? I think as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, everybody else is laughing. And even now, like, all of us were like, what was wrong with us?
Yeah, one of your brothers was saying he watched them recently and was like, why did I think this was so funny?
It's way more funny in our minds now. And quoting the parts that we actually enjoy and everything. Like, I remember, what is it? In Dinosaurs, the TV show that is now at Disney Plus. There's a character, Blarney, that they, that's basically just making fun of Barney.
It's Barney, but he's stoned?
No.
I've never seen like, Dinosaurs.
No, it's just like, he's just completely stupid. Like, the way that every parent sees Barney is the way that Blarney is represented in the show.
So what you're telling me is I'm not wrong.
Yes. Yes, but slightly.
Stoners are not generally the smartest people reduced brain function.
He sings the song and he's like, I love you, you love me, we're so happy, we love me, love we. And it's like absolutely ridiculous. And so, and then like, this is like, Barney, your favorite fun, lovable, bouncing ball of foam kind of a thing. And then it like has a list of like all the Blarney videos. And it's like, Blarney helps you to quit smoking. And so like the little dinosaur is like watching this. He's like, I love Blarney, Blarney, and everything. And it's just absolutely.
The little baby has a smoking problem.
No, it's just like absolutely ridiculous. Okay.
Sorry.
Don't
just kidding.
Purposefully misunderstand me. How many times do I have to tell you?
No, it wasn't a purposeful misunderstanding. It was just meant as a joke. There's a difference.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Anyway.
I promise. I wasn't trying to.
I know. But you do it.
I do it.
All the time. Anyway.
I have certainly earned my reputation for doing it. That is my fault, not yours.
Yeah. Sucks to be you. I'm joking.
I have created my own worst enemy.
Yeah, so have I. Anyway, so yeah, so that's the movie and everything. And it's, or not the movie, that's the quote and everything. Next week, I will be more prepared. But I was like, I better do it this week so that I don't forget to do it, if that makes sense.
When you went from saying you'd done some preparation and then said we were going to do the movie quote, it's like, oh man, she's actually looked one up. But I guess that wasn't the case.
No, like I had had some that I'd thought of, but I'd said them already in our like conversations.
So they weren't going to be as
Yeah, I was like thinking of like anymore. Something from Nacho Libre or something, but I have to save it. I have to save my quotes.
Right.
My sister just texted
Nacho Libre, I have a much better chance of recognizing the quote.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I need to find like obscure movies that you haven't seen.
Or obscure quotes from movies I have seen. I don't always have as good a memory for quoting things, but a movie like Nacho Libre is like...
It's so quotable.
Almost made to just quote the entire movie.
I love Nacho Libre. It's just so funny. We watched.
Did you tell him they were the Lord's cheeps?
I tried, but... And we're back. From an unknown break that nobody knew that we had.
Nacho!
Encarnacion! Encarnacion! Sorry.
Let's see, did I go first last week? I think I did.
Yes, because I had a question for... No, I had a question
that's right.
for you
a question
and followed
and,
you up because we were talking about the New Year's thing or whatever.
That's right.
So I feel like it's either your job to ask me a question similar to that, or for you to go first and stand on your own 2 feet.
I don't know if I've done that my entire life.
Do you not have legs?
Yes, I have legs, just not feet.
Yeah, I guess you are wearing Batman socks right now, aren't you?
Therefore, I have no feet.
Yep, you have bats.
Mm. Does that mean I can fly?
Yeah, well, you know what? Just Batman's just so crappy. I don't know that he...
Ah, my soul.
Sorry, Batman. I hate Batman. I hate Batman. Sorry.
I am Batman.
Everybody's like, I love Batman. And I'm like, sorry. Iron Man's better.
Yeah.
Everything in Marvel is better except for Christopher Reeve's Superman, but he's just classic, you know. And Wonder Woman was pretty good. I did love that, but that's about it.
I haven't seen the second Wonder Woman yet.
No, I didn't hear it was great, which most sequels aren't.
This is true.
So I'm cynical. The only sequel that was good, well, there's two sequels that are good. Endgame.
Uh-huh.
And Spider-Man No Way Home.
Which is actually a sequel to a sequel.
Yes. Well, it's one of those things where it's like Marvel movies in general are just good.
Yeah. And they don't actually feel like sequels in the same way as most movies.
Right. It just feels kind of like the next book in a series kind of a thing.
Which is a sequel. But it's such a continuation of the story versus most sequels don't feel like they continue a story.
Yeah, they feel like they go on a different tangent.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway, we did go watch Spider-Man No Way Home.
We did.
And it was very good.
Highly recommend.
So much so that we went and saw it again.
Yep. 2 times, contributing to that record-breaking box office weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not weekend, but box office total.
Yeah, well, actually, we might have been outside. I don't know how much longer.
I think we were there for the first... So the box opening weekend is like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe Monday, but I think it ends Sunday. So I think we were just outside the window for the opening weekend.
Okay.
Because we saw it Monday after it opened, and then we saw it the following Monday again. So...
Okay.
We might have edged in on opening weekend if Monday's included, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And then we were definitely way outside opening weekend by the following week, but
yeah. Anyway, but that was really good. And it's like one of the last Marvel movies I think I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
I might still watch Loki.
Uh-huh, the show.
Depending on how that works out. And
I don't know. They've got me interested to see Multiverse of Madness.
Well, and I was going to watch that, too, because it had Wanda.
And I like the first Doctor Strange movie, too.
Right. And
it felt different than a lot of other Marvel movies.
Yeah, before they even had kind of lined it up and everything, I was going to watch Doctor Strange 2. Because I loved the first one so much. I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
He does a really good job.
He's not my favorite Sherlock, though.
That's fair. It's hard to beat Robert Downey Jr. at anything.
Mm-hmm. Which I just think it's funny that they played in the same movie together.
Right?
Like, both the Sherlocks, like, facing down. And I know that Robert isn't British, but he's just, I feel like he plays Sherlock the way that I kind of envision him.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit more haphazard, and right. Benedict doesn't seem as haphazard about anything ever.
Right.
He, like, the way that he plays his Sherlock is very much the way that he plays Doctor Strange. Like, he just kind of fits that role. I just kind of feel like that's also who he is.
Right.
So yeah.
Yep. Well, I feel vastly underprepared. I'm trying to even think about what's been going on. School starts again this week for me, so
kind of feels like we've been in a limbo.
Yeah, it's holidays.
Because it's like we couldn't really do much because of school starting, but then we also couldn't do, we can't not do stuff. Oh, actually, what happened New Year's Eve, babe?
What happened New Year's Eve?
It was big, long. What did we do in the morning?
Like New Year's Eve day?
Yes.
New Year's Eve day. I know I should know this.
You really Friday. Should. It took Friday up your entire morning. Day.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to talk about it.
So we were pulling out bushes and or creosote, right? And some people love creosote. I happen to hate them.
It is technically a bush.
Okay. So it's a bush, but it's...
Or a shrub.
I love trees. I love shade trees. I love fruit trees. I love, you know, citrus trees, all those things, right? I love those things. I do not love bushes that grow on their own and take over your yard.
Everything else.
Yeah. Well, and they were here when we moved in, and there was no, like...
We had a whole topiary of them, but yeah. It's not nearly as nice as that sounds.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. Anyway.
Our kids started calling it the Dark Woods after watching Winnie the Pooh. That's how tangled and snarled it was.
Yeah, maybe I'll post a picture on our Instagram or something. Head over there. So we were pulling out a bunch of creosote, trying to just clear the yard. Because they were here before we got here. And so we didn't get to choose. And the people before us, I do love them. I just struggle with how the yard was maintained.
She feels the need to say that because they are still our backdoor neighbors.
And they are very sweet people.
Yeah.
Like, they are good people. I just, it's one of those things where it's like, our style is very different. Right? I do not love bushes. I'm like, if I'm going to have a yard, I want it to be mostly flat. I don't want it to be, like, overrun with, like, bushes that I didn't choose to be there kind of a thing.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's kind of what has happened there. So we're pulling stuff out, and there was this one Palo Verde tree that needed to be pulled out. And we didn't check where. And we didn't check where the water main was.
Nope.
And
rookie mistake.
Yeah, we thought, well, and most... It's such a big yard, right?
Yeah.
We don't usually have to worry about that.
But I wouldn't have thought of it being so close to the surface that it was that vulnerable either.
Right, me either.
It was only like 2 feet down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was not deep at all.
Right. So we made that mistake, but we pulled it out, and it's not like the roots here are very deep, and because it's warm territory, right? You don't have to dig very deep because freezing temperature, you never get down to freezing really ever.
The frost line is incredibly high.
And so, so we broke the main line. Luckily, it wasn't that big of a deal in the long run.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just a lot of frustration at the time.
Right. Yeah. It's like Nathaniel was like, Cher, you gotta stop and everything. Come look at this and everything. And so then I was like, well, okay, we can turn off the main line because we have the power to do that and everything, which I really appreciate being able to do that. And then we turned that off. We started assessing. I kind of started freaking out. Then we contacted Colin, Nathaniel's brother, who is a plumber. And we were like, elbows. after we'd dug up and figured everything out, and
yeah, we got to where we could see what the problem was and what was actually broken. And every time I have to do a plumbing thing, I pretty much just video chat my brother and like, help me, tell me what I'm doing now.
And so anyway, without his help, it would have taken much longer and would have been a whole huge, big, long, hard thing.
Yeah,
I think. Because, I don't know, it's just, like, when you have somebody, you're just like, yeah.
It gives a lot of confidence.
In what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise it's kind of like, well, it looks like it might be this, and this, and I need to do this, but also...
Right.
Is it actually what's going on?
Yeah. So, and then we ended up cutting out a whole section of pipe because there was like this big copper piece that was in there for no reason.
Yeah, we don't know what it was. He was like, I don't know what it is. And he was, his manager was there too. And his manager's like, I don't know what it is.
So we're like, take it out, put in new piping right there. So.
Yeah, because, well, it was originally threaded between two lengths of PVC pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a whole nother story about the main being PVC, but that's a different story, different problem potentially.
If that is just, for those of you who don't know our house situation and everything and like know our personal lives, that is just an indication of how...
Just one more thing about this house.
Just one more thing. It's just like, add it to the list. Add it to the list of things that were not done or whatever.
I was just glad it wasn't CPVC because that's what our entire... house is plumbed with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to see it wasn't CPVC in there because that stuff is an absolute nightmare to work with. But anyway, so this copper piece was like threaded into a space between these two same size PVC pipes. So it's almost like, as best we can tell, it's more like a fitting of some sort. Like there's no clear reason for it to have been there. It doesn't, having removed it, it doesn't seem to have affected our water flow at all. It doesn't seem to have served any purpose that we can figure out. So
yeah, no, it is. It's completely weird. So anyway, so that's what we did New Year's Eve.
We'll cut it open at some point and see if we can figure out what the guts tell us.
Yeah, but before that, we were able to get out a ton of creosote before pulling out the tree. And then after we had everything fixed, we still had a little bit of daylight while we were waiting. So I... drove, and basically what we do, because the creosote, like, it's desert ground, so you can't, like, the roots don't go down very deep.
And digging is a nightmare.
And also cutting the creosote, because they're so dry, like, you can't, it's not like cutting a normal tree where it's, like, soft.
Yeah.
And there's, like, some give to it. Like, when you prune a tree, I'm sure most people, like, when they think of pruning a tree, they're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, nice and soft, and you just kind of cut through the flesh of the tree. Cutting creosote is not like that.
No.
It is like cutting dry wood, and it is terrible. Anyway, so it's easier to just pull them by the root and just like pull the whole thing out. So.
Yep. Well, and they're also not generally that big. We had a couple of massive ones.
Yes.
But for the most part, they're not huge.
Yes.
Like usually once we get it pulled with the van, I'm able to pretty easily drag it off and throw it into a pile.
Right. There are a couple that are super huge.
We've done like four or five
really, really big
ones. Big ones that I could drag but couldn't lift.
Right. Well, in this,
and one that I could not move at all.
There was one big one that we did New Year's Eve day that you couldn't even drag. Or was that the day before New Year's Eve?
That was the day before.
Okay, yeah. But it was like in that same area.
Yeah, that's the only one that I remember us doing that I couldn't drag at all.
Right. So, yeah, it's just ridiculous. So now our yard is starting to kind of look like a yard instead of a jungle.
Yeah, it's getting flat.
To
the point where we were both like, oh, maybe we should just build a different house in this corner.
Which is actually kind of... what I wanted to talk about, because I kind of wanted to talk about inspiration and when it comes and how the
enough.
Lord, how the Lord prepares us.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. Cause when we bought this property, we expected to pretty much spend the rest of our lives here in Arizona, potentially on this property.
Right.
We bought it because we could make the house on the property do for now with some immediate repairs, and then our plan was always to eventually build on it. Since we bought it two and a half years ago,
it's been 2019,
right?
2019,
of
August of 2019.
So since we bought it 2.5 years ago, we've started feeling like there's a good chance we won't stay in Arizona for the rest of our lives. But we don't know where that will end up being.
Well, and there was a whole thing also with your parents potentially moving out of state, which is looking less and less likely now.
Yeah.
Sorry, that'll play in later, but.
Yeah. And then, so there's that. And then, as we've discussed previously on the podcast, I was close to the end of school. Now I'm a couple years further out from the end of school because of the choice to add a second major. So we're here for a couple more years at minimum than we expected.
Right.
Basically all that to say, if we'd cleared this creosote sooner on, we would have, like, if we cleared it 6 months ago, we would have probably not even thought of the how nice the space would be for a house.
Right. Well, and also, like, we've been slowly clearing it. Like, it's not something right. that we were able to do all at once. That was the other thing, is like, we've been slowly learning that it's like things have to be done. It's hard to do things this way, but this is how they're best done, is doing them slowly, day by day,
right.
instead of all at once.
Yeah.
Like doing all the laundry on one day or doing all the dishes on one day. It's easier to just do things like 15 minutes at a time, 30 minutes at a time,
right.
instead of trying to make it a whole big long thing. And like, that helped us, right? So like, we started clearing it out in October to have like parking
mm-hmm.
for our Halloween party.
Yeah, our first big push was to clear a space that we could put some cement blocks that were on the property in to demonstrate parking spots.
Right.
For the first really big party we'd had here.
Yeah, because we've had some parties, but most of the parties we've had have not been super big. And that was our biggest party.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of how many people we had. We had, I'm going to just name their costumes. So that way, so we had
there you go.
Rapunzel and Flynn, and then we had our German fellows, and then, and they had like, they just had like authentic German clothing,
yeah.
which was awesome. We had
some Harry Potter costumes.
Harry Potter costumes, Sully,
oh, yeah.
Mike and Boo.
Right.
And then we had a princess and I can't remember what he was and everything, but, and it was like families and everything.
Yeah.
And then we had a ninja and a pirate princess. And then we had us, who were Dalmatians and Cruella de Vil and Jasper. And I feel like there is one more person. And now I can't think of who it is. We also had my parents come. They were our judges, our yep. costume judges and everything, and I told them, I was like, come like your red carpet guests kind of a thing, like dress up as much as you possibly can and come and judge, because I want you to be like fancy. And they completely outdid themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, my mom came in this beautiful blue dress and my dad wore a tux, and
it was pretty impressive.
My little sister wore like this beautiful red gown and everything, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just love this so much.
It was pretty great.
And I think we're gonna do the same thing this coming year. Anyway, so yeah, but that was our biggest party that we've had,
yeah,
and everything. And it was just, it was awesome. It was awesome to have the space and everything. And I was like, oh man, like if we move, we need to make sure that we have a space
yeah.
where we can host. Because right. otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we started clearing then. And then as we've slowly cleared, it wasn't until this last week. I don't know when it was particularly, but it was, I think, that first day that we were pulling creosote out of the 2 days, because we did it, I guess you could say, New Year's Eve Adam. New Year's Adam.
Yeah. No, that's probably accurate.
Because I looked at it and it was like cleared, and I was like, if I could put it into words, it was like, you're supposed to build a house right here where you're standing. And I was like, whoa. Okay. I'm fine with that. But I didn't tell you right away.
No.
And it,
I don't think you told me till New Year's Day.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Or New Year's Eve.
Because we were cleaning up stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Getting a bunch of trash and kind of cleaning it up.
And I had had the thought that this would be a really good spot for a house now.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing it, because like, it's not like the amount of space or the location actually changed, but having all of the tree, or not trees, but it felt like it, all of the creosote bushes out made the space look so much bigger than it felt with all of them there. And it, like, I wouldn't have considered that as a spot for a house at all with the creosote there.
Yeah, because where we were planning on putting stuff or whatever, it, like, that was never, it was never a place where we would have considered.
Yeah.
But then, like, what's actually funny is that because we broke the water line, the main line, I, and I'm not, like, saying that it happened for this very reason kind of a thing, but I didn't stop you. Up until that point, I had stopped you and everything, and I didn't, I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it and everything. And then, like, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, the Lord didn't tell me not to do it, right? Not because he wanted us to, like, break the line or anything like that, but now I'm aware that that's perfect. Because if we built the house there, it's right next to the water line.
Right.
Right? It would be that much easier to just, like, take the water and take it off and put it on there.
Right. Right?
It wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so it's all these, like, little things, and, like, the septic is right there, and just everything.
Right.
And so it just feels like, again, the timing was perfect, that it's like, not everything that we've done has been for the reason and everything, but God assigns a purpose to those things as we do things. He's like, hey, see what you're doing here and everything. You can make something better at this. Kind of like, we don't like, God knows everything, but it's not like he can't take away our agency.
Right.
And so he can't plan on us always doing the right thing every single time. And so he's constantly, like, adjusting for what we're doing. And that makes it sound like he doesn't know what's happening, because he does know what's happening. But it's, he has to be with us in every moment, adjusting as we go, because if he just pretended, like, if he just acted like everything, like he knew everything, right? Instead of being with us in the moment,
so many things would go wrong.
Right, exactly. Because it's not like he's looking at it as a bystander saying, oh, I know everything and I'm going to just go along with it. He's acting as if he's there with us in the moment, being like, okay, now what can we do with this information? And he's slowly teaching us as we're going, which is way more impressive than, like, it's kind of like a teacher who has a test, like, pre-written out, versus a teacher who, like, somebody, like, in physics, right? Like, let's say, like, a teacher's just like, okay, here's a problem, right, that's prefabricated from the books kind of a thing.
Right.
Versus a teacher who's like, okay, here's all these things or whatever. Like, yeah, similar problem. We know the gist of it or whatever, but we're going to change all the variables.
Right.
And now you have to solve that one, right? That's a little bit less
right
of a thing. So, I don't know. It's much more impressive, I guess, is what I'm going for.
Yes.
Because, like, God, it's a, he has to account for our lack of planning so much. And he's not like planning on, he hasn't, like, pre-written the plan, which is what it, growing up, that's kind of what it sounded like.
Right.
Right. It's not that he hasn't pre-written the plan. He's like, I'm counting on you to make some decisions and everything so that these other things will happen. But if those don't happen, then how can we make up the difference in the future?
Right.
Right. He's just constantly adjusting.
Yeah.
For things. And so anyway, it just is very, very interesting. So because of that, now he's been with us and he's like, okay, let's look at the property and everything. And I don't know what it was. I think I just had this, my parents have, like, a chain for, like, pulling out stumps and stuff like that. And so that's what we've been using. We've been borrowing it for the last 6 months.
Yep.
And everything. And I was like, I'm just done and everything. And so we've been doing it, and it has just completely changed everything. And it looks so beautiful, in my opinion.
No, it's, yeah, not, it looks 100% better already.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, you, people, like, onlookers would not be like, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful.
Someone who hadn't seen the property before wouldn't come up and go, wow, such a beautiful yard.
Right. But
anybody that can see the transformation would be like, oh my gosh, that's so much better.
Right. Exactly.
Can only imagine our nice, newly built homed neighbors appreciate the change in scenery.
I feel so bad though. So what's funny is we were pulling out creosote and our neighbor, he was out on his back patio and we went to go pull and everything. And it came out and he was the outside, but we didn't realize. And then he like peeked around the corner. And I was like, I'm sorry. We're just pulling out bushes and everything. I just felt really bad. And I think that was actually the biggest bush that we had.
This was the biggest one we did that day.
Because then I pulled around.
Yeah. It was after the really big one.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah. So God is with us. And everything in the moment, instead of like being, he's not, I guess like a bystander.
Yeah.
Like he's with us in every moment instead of being like.
He didn't just set it in motion.
Test.
You didn't just set it in motion and say, good luck.
Yeah.
If you don't follow my path perfectly, then well, you're on your own.
Right. Which also makes a ton. I was talking with my dad about this today, actually. I was saying, if God doesn't give us trials, because I've been thinking a lot about that, and there were a lot of gaps, because I was like, if God doesn't give us trials, then like, when he does like give us like a solution or whatever, like, right, what is happening there, right? When things turn out for our benefit, what is happening? How is he blessing us if he's not giving us the trial? And I was like, oh, well, maybe the thing is that he allows things to get through because of the natural world, right?
Right.
The things that are happening because the natural world are going to happen.
Right.
But there are certain things that he's able to stop because of our obedience, right?
Right.
Because he's like, hey, I'm going to bless you in this way because you did this thing and now cha-ching, cash in on your blessings. That's probably a bad way to think about it, but it's the only visual I can think of. Anyway, and so in that way, he can test our faith and our patience, right? Like,
right.
Okay, you're going through this thing. I'm going to try your faith to see, will you hold on?
Are you going to stay firm through this trial that you're experiencing?
Right. I'm not giving it to you, but I'm not going to provide an immediate solution.
I'm not
going to
immediately solve it for
you. Right. Which sounds really cruel, but if you think about it, we do that to our kids all the time.
Yeah.
No, you can't have a snack right now. No, you may not watch a movie right now. No, you may not do this thing right now. Right.
Or maybe more on point. No, I'm not going to help you put your jacket on this time.
Right.
Because
no, I'm not going to help you put your shoes on.
At least not at first.
Right.
I need you to try first before I do this.
Right. And once we have showed that effort and showed that faith in him, then he
helps us.
Right. Because I've thought a lot about like people saying like, oh, I felt the Holy Ghost tell me that it was the right thing. And it's like, maybe it was a good thing. But people change and agency change. Like, people still have their agency. People
right.
still have their ability to choose. And God can't control that.
Right.
And so he has to be with you in the moment instead of trying to tell you or warn you against all the bad things that will happen kind of a
right.
thing.
Well, and he knows everything that could happen.
Right.
Beyond just like, he knows that this person could make a number of choices.
Right.
And so he's doing what he can to lead us down the path that will be best for us.
Right.
But sometimes that it doesn't work out the way that everyone would hope and that necessary towards what he was guiding us towards because
right.
of someone else's agency.
Right. So anyway, because it can make a God look like a really cruel person when like, oh, well, like I felt like this was the right choice. And it's like, maybe it was at the time.
Right.
Right? And now it's no longer the right choice. Right. And it's, I don't know. I guess it's just really interesting to think about like in specific situations. Because, like, the specific situation that I'm thinking about is, like, marriage.
Right.
Right?
Oh, so like when marriages don't work out.
When marriages don't work out, or a specific instance that I was told about that this person felt like they were, felt the Holy Ghost tell them, like, this is the person you're supposed to be marrying and stuff like that. And people have told them that it's like, well, everything happens for a reason and everything. And maybe you had to go through that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, freaking heck, no.
Right.
Sometimes life just sucks and those things happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes God gives you an answer and that is the answer. But then other things change and right. God has to tell you what's right then in the moment. And like he can't just tell you, this is how everything's going to turn out.
Right.
Right. Like we've been having some experiences with that too for like concerning our family. Right. And we've kind of come to this, I won't get too into it. Right. But I've come to realize that I am not the type of person who can have 8 kids like I've always wanted. Right.
Right.
Like when we first got married, I was like, oh, we'll take them one by one. But then as I thought about it, I was like, 8 kids. I was like, that seems right. And everything. And then as we've had more and more kids, I say it. And then I'm like, but that feels like capacity. And there were a lot of experience literally just in the last month that it was like, I cannot handle 8 kids.
Right.
Not just because of like I do pregnancies physically fine.
Yeah.
But mentally it is very hard on me. And I just had this feeling like, Cher, you can't do that many kids because you will be wrecked at the end of this.
Right.
It won't work out well. And you still have to be around for other kids and everything. You still have to be around for the kids that you've created, which I always know. Right.
Right.
Like I've always known that, but, anyway, so it's been kind of like a toss up, like, okay, well, what do we do? And for a little bit we thought, well, maybe we're not supposed to have any more kids. And then we kind of had this feeling, well, maybe we're supposed to have one more. And so it's been kind of like God is with us, influencing us and showing us things in the moment as they go. And learning that is so hard. And I'm still like learning like how to be in the moment and like realize that God is not a God that operates and like, he's like, yes, prepare for the future, but don't live in the future.
Right.
And I'm not used to that. I'm used to like trying to like, okay, prepare for this, blah, 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 blah. And then I get so distracted by it that I'm not living in the moment.
Right. Well, and also there's an aspect to this that God has to also communicate with us in ways that we can understand.
Right.
And so like, I think there's times kind of with like what you're talking about there where we're like, well, we need to cut it off. We're done having kids.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier to get that message through than like, well, just scale it back however much, right?
Right.
It's a lot easier to just get through to us, our personalities, you're done, right?
Right.
And then from there, you can be like, well, you aren't actually done. We're gonna go a little
you're
bit further.
You're not done in the way that you thought you were done, right?
Exactly.
You took the impression a little bit too far, but...
right.
But from that point, like, let's move forward with, like...
Right.
Just, like, do this slowly, right? And so it put things in perspective, definitely. And so, anyway, yeah. So, again, so going back to the whole house thing... Without the order of impressions that we got them, Heavenly Father is like impressing upon our minds, prompting us in a direction to then put us in a position where we'll be ready to hear him in the most ideal way.
Right.
And it's just interesting. Oh, there's another thing, but I'll tell that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I don't know that it's totally relevant now. So anyway, so that was my thought. I guess I can just share it now. When I was talking with my dad earlier, I was talking about how it makes sense for our getting into heaven to not be predicated on holy, on the amount of stuff that we did in this life.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not about quantity.
Yeah.
It's about quality and like trying, right? That God cares more about how much we're trying and our ability to get back up and to continue trying and continue coming to him than he does about the actual, like, oh yeah, like, you were the perfect ministering sister or brother and everything, and you completely nailed all of the things all the time, right?
Right.
Like, he's looking for people who are willing to improve, because those people, and not just improve all at once, but improve slowly and gradually.
Right.
Because those things come over time, because those are the people who will be able to exalt, I guess, like, achieve exaltation the best, because they're not trying to just like get it all at once, and they're also not it's about the pattern of behavior.
Yeah. I don't know that there's actually a speed component that matters at all. I think it's more about consistency. I'm just saying, you could make the changes really fast as long as those changes are also permanent and consistent.
Right. Well,
I guess that's all I'm saying.
That's what I am saying too, though, I guess. But I just said it differently, because I'm like, if you're trying to make like one big fast change, but then you fall back down.
Right.
Right. That doesn't make sense. But if you are trying and you are slowly progressing, or if you're quickly progressing, but you're progressing.
As long as you're consistently progressing.
Right. And obviously progressing, your progression does slow down and speed up in different areas of your life. But if there's always forward progress.
Right.
Then Heavenly Father's like, oh, you're trying. And there was something literally recently that I saw, that it was Jeffrey R. Holland stating that the Lord always is very mindful, I think is the word that he used. I'll have to look it up. The Lord is always very mindful of those who are trying their best.
Right.
And so that, coupled with kind of everything that has just happened, I was like, oh, because whenever I have hurt, like gotten a blessing, I am always like, just like waiting to be chastised. Right. Not necessarily that's what blessings are for, but sometimes like that's a time for Heavenly Father to counsel you in a different way than he's necessarily able to sometimes maybe in the day to day. I mean, hopefully you would hope that eventually you'll get to that point, but it takes time and you have to be patient with yourself. So you get to have a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah.
From those blessings. And he is always patient and proud. He's like, I'm happy of the progress that you have made. Also, here's some things maybe that you should focus on. Right. And it's never demeaning or frustrating or frustrated. Sorry, that's the word. I'm turning into number one. He'll say, Mommy, I'm frustrating. And I'm like, yeah, do you feel frustrated right
number
now?
Number two is making me frustrating.
Yes, that's right.
Came and told me that tonight.
Anyway, so it just makes sense, because he's not looking for the deed to be done. He's looking for the pattern of behavior to develop.
Right.
Right. He's like, I'm looking for consistent trying in these areas. Are you trying to pay your tithing? Are you trying to say your prayers? Are you, and are you making progress in those things? Are you not just trying, but succeeding sometimes? And are you getting better at it? Are you getting better at communicating with me? Are you getting better at noticing people and their needs and how you can help them for me? Because I'm not there to do it. Right. Kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think it comes down to as well, what he's looking for is our faith to be developed. Because
that's true.
The stronger our faith is, the more we are motivated to make those changes, to do those things, right? It's easy to get caught up on focusing on the actions that come.
Agreed.
But what God, what Heavenly Father is actually concerned about is the level of faith in him that we have.
Right.
The rest of the things that we do only matter as much as they're an extension of that faith.
Right.
Like, you could do all the things you ever wanted to do, all good things, help all the people, but if it didn't come out of a strong faith in God, then it doesn't do you any benefit to get into heaven.
As John, by the way, likes to say, it's the, we do it because we're supposed to.
That's attitude. Right. That's right.
He talks about he's like, you've heard of the Beatitudes? Well, here are the three attitudes. And, like, he talks about the attitudes, like, there's the, I want to be good, but I don't want to be that good. And then the second attitude is we're good because we have to, or because we're supposed to. We're good because we're supposed to. And then the third attitude is because I want to. And as soon as we start doing things out of a desire to want to do them instead of I'm supposed to do it, that's like where the shift happens.
Right.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah. Because that's also why it doesn't matter how much you've done, right? Because we all have different opportunities to exercise our faith.
Right.
Not everyone can help a million people in their lives. Not everyone has a talent for making blankets or is good at going and visiting with other people.
Right. Or there are some people who are better at investing their money and can help in more monetary ways. So it's like,
yeah,
we should all be self-reliant, but some people are better in that way at being able to grow their money in that way,
right,
and be smart financially so that they can help others in that way.
Yeah. And so I think it's important sometimes to reorient and remember how it's our faith that should be driving these things.
Right.
Because I think fundamentally most people recognize that once you stop for a second, but it's not usually the discussion.
Right.
The discussion usually is around, well, what are the actions we're taking? What are the things that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that none of those matter.
Right. In a lot of ways, that is what it, like, and it's...
Like they do.
Like they do matter.
They're not what's important to get into heaven.
Yeah, because what Heavenly Father's looking for is he's not looking for somebody who's like, who helped the most people.
Right.
He's looking for the person who wanted to help the most people.
The person who had the strongest faith in Jesus Christ.
He's like, who is like, I know, and it's not even necessarily to want to help the most people. It's that who wanted to help the most because they're like, I know that this will make a difference. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't always love going to church, but I do it. And then once I'm there, I'm like pumped and excited. I'm like, right. Yes, we're going to have so much fun. Or that sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to do something. And then once I do it, I feel once I'm into it, I'm like, no, I do want to do this. And right. I think that that's part of the, sometimes we do it because we're supposed to, but then in the act of doing it, we do so much better.
Yeah.
Like there was a night when I didn't want to go to Relief Society activity. I feel so bad because I want to love Relief Society and I love visiting with people. I love visiting with people, but I have a really hard time going to Relief Society activities because there's always something. And actually I've talked to a lot of sisters about this because a lot of sisters feel this and I feel like it's Satan. He's like, if I get you guys together, that's a problem.
I let you guys get together, you're going to be stronger.
Right.
You can't have that.
Exactly. And so it's, so I do think that actually is something, right? Like very specifically directed towards women, right?
Right.
Women getting together. That's an issue for Satan. And he's like, going to try and discourage you all. So I have a hard time going to Relief Society activities in general, but I do my best to go. I have gone to most, if not all of them since COVID started back up. And
since things started back up after COVID.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. And that was only because I was sick.
Yeah.
Like I was not feeling good. It was bad. Anyway, so that's right. Oh, sorry. Hitcha on the hand on accident. Anyway, so
That's what we get for podcasting in a closet, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is. So, so I have a hard time going, but once I go, I'm glad that I've gone. And this specific time, I didn't want to go, but I met a woman who had just moved in, who has 8 kids, and they just are the most amazing family. And I was able to kind of see her. And this was right around the time that we were kind of coming to terms with the fact that it's like, we probably are not going to have 8 kids.
Right.
And that's going to be okay. And she has been such a huge support in like knowing and understanding and like, just, I don't know, just learning from her experience. I don't know that she knows that.
But, right.
But she seriously has been the... my balm of Gilead, I guess.
Right.
As of recently. And, but I wouldn't have been able to know her as well if I hadn't have gone there. Right. And so anyway, so sometimes we do things because we're supposed to, but as we learn to ignore the temptations, if that makes sense, because I feel like it's hearing the Lord is also in a function of itself, learning to ignore the temptations.
Right.
Right. People are like, oh, just like, just move past the temptations. And I'm like, well, it has to be replaced with something else.
Right.
So you're simultaneously, you're doing two things at once.
Somebody made an interesting point in Sunday school on Sunday. They were saying Satan can't push things out of a space. He can only fill voids.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Which I thought was a really interesting way to think about it, but I think it's accurate. We were talking about Moses and an experience he had after seeing a vision from God.
Right.
Satan immediately comes afterwards, and there's kind of a void there. And so it's interesting, like, you talk about trying to get temptation out of your life. You have to replace it, or it's still a void.
Right.
Like, if there's a void, Satan will just come and fill it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have been, well, I don't know that I can say a lot of people, but I know people who are addicted to pornography have been, right, the addiction never goes away.
Right.
But it is so much easier for them to fight that addiction when they replace it with something good in their life.
Right.
And so it's just so much better. Anyway, yeah, but it's like he can only fill a void. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know it conceptually, but then somebody says it like that. Somebody
puts words to it and you're like, yes.
You're like, that is so true. Because he's like, yeah, that's just so, it's kind of like dark and light, right?
Right.
Dark things really can only like fill something else.
Right.
They can only take something up that's not
our darkness can only exist where light isn't.
Right.
Light will immediately drive out darkness, but darkness can't overcome light.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah. So that's just really interesting. Oh, I love that. Somebody put that on a t-shirt. Like, let's do this, okay? Anyway, so, yeah. I think that makes perfect sense. And that it's like in developing the habit, you have to replace it with something else.
Yeah.
And that by driving out temptation doesn't look like, get thee hence, Satan, which, so, well, sometimes it does. But more often, it's turning away from Satan and turning towards God.
Right.
My dad, I really love this. And I wish that there's a thing on TikTok where people are like, it's like a little like singy spoken word thing or whatever. And it's like, look at Hebrews 13, verse 8, something, something, something. Every day I'm going to do what the devil hates. I'm going to try and do what the devil hates. And I hate that song. I don't hate that song. I hate that part of the song because I'm like, I love that it's like new and contemporary kind of thing. Like it's a new song. It's getting people to listen to fun music that has the message of God in it, right, kind of a thing. But I don't love that we're doing what the devil hates.
Uh-huh.
because that's the wrong thing. Like, it's the wrong message.
Emphasis.
Right. Like, we don't hate Satan. We love Jesus.
Right.
Kind of a thing. Like,
because you can hate Satan without loving Jesus.
Right. And also, like, why would you spend your energy hating Satan?
Right.
Like, it's just so much. And it's again, like you said, it's the wrong emphasis, and it's not actually the right way to do things.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you and I have talked about it before, and I don't remember if it was on the podcast or not now, but like, the way you focus on things is how you will experience them.
Right.
So if you're focused on the negative aspect of hating Satan,
right,
then you're going to have a more negative experience.
Right.
Versus if you're focused on the positive of loving Jesus.
Right.
It's going to be easier to experience the positive.
Right. Well, and also if you're focused on the love of Jesus, it's going to be easier for you to love other people.
Right.
Right. If you're constantly, because I know people in the church even who are like, oh, we've got to study the tactics of Satan. And I'm like, no, we don't. Yeah. We do not need to study the tactics of Satan. We need to study the tactics of our Lord, which is the complete opposite of what Satan's doing. And I agree, we don't need to like blindside ourselves and like be naive about things, but we do need to not indulge or give too much attention to Satan. Because the thing is that allows those things to fester in us.
Right.
Right. Like, I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, X on Easter is terrible because it was a pagan holiday and stuff or whatever. And I'm like, I understand that there is a history to that, but, and everybody has their thing, right? Everybody has their thing that they don't like. Mine doesn't happen to be Easter.
Right.
Or Easter eggs specifically. I don't like the Easter bunny, like dealing with the Easter bunny, because I'm like, there's no point in that.
Right.
But doing like little Easter eggs or whatever, like, I have never seen anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but all that to be said, that it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't focus on the right things.
Right.
Like, just focus on the joy and the love, and like, yes, like, life is real, and sometimes things happen. A lot of times things happen, and it's really negative and really terrible. And sometimes it feels like there's no way through.
Right.
But if we're focusing on the joy and the love of God, and the joy and love of Christ and the atonement that he bore for us, instead of focusing on the negative of what Satan has done. Oh, he ruined Easter. Oh, he ruined these things, and he did all these terrible things. Like, yeah, of course he is. Did.
That's his job.
It's his job. He literally is the worst thing to ever exist.
It's all he exists for.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I feel like there's a real, it's like, what did you expect? kind of a thing. And so I don't, it's not, I don't know. I just don't prefer to focus on those things. And people will often, I don't know, when I talk about politics, like, which I very rarely talk about with anybody anymore, except for like my parents and you. Yeah, pretty much. Like, I do talk about politics with some people, but it's very
surface level.
Well, yeah. And like things that are obvious. Like,
right.
Yeah, we shouldn't make people do things that they don't want to do. Yeah, we should be sticking up for people, right? Doing
right.
those good things, right?
Yeah.
We should have rules and boundaries and stuff like that. Those are obvious things.
Right, yeah.
But I don't often get into trying to talk about candidates anymore.
Right.
Because it hasn't ever helped me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just hasn't ever helped me. So, yeah.
It's too polarizing.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, I do believe that we have to make a choice, but I don't think it's between right or left. I think it's between good and evil, and that may seem extreme. But the more that you look at this world, the less extreme that view becomes.
Right. And it's always been that way.
Right.
Ever since we were in heaven and had to make the choice between good and evil, that's ultimately the choice we've had to make as humankind since the beginning. And it's only going to get more pronounced and obvious that that's the choice we're making.
Right.
If you're paying attention. A lot of people will be so numb to it that they won't recognize that that's the choice they're making.
Right.
But those that are paying attention and are listening to the Lord, I think we're going to see more and more that our choice is between good or evil. And it's going to become that black and white.
Right. Yeah. Which is really scary to think about. Because there are people, like, you know, there's got to be people who you know, right? Like, right now, that won't be on the same side as you. Even though, like,
right.
not, and that makes it sound like, oh, you're going to be against me. But, like, it's this, I know that you're not going to be with me if you continue down the path that you're going.
Right.
It's kind of like being friends in kindergarten or something. And then you grow up together and then, like, you split paths and you know that. It's kind of right. like that feeling, like, yeah, we're going in different directions, aren't we?
Right.
Kind of a thing. And so, but it's not like a looming feeling, I guess, necessarily, but it's just one of those, like, taking note.
Right.
And I hope you choose different choices and you come with me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And again, of course, this is what we believe. Not everybody believes this. Yes.
This is true.
We do believe it to be true, though, which is why we say it.
That's right. We can only speak from the knowledge of which we have and the beliefs which we have.
Yep.
We welcome feedback on our Instagram. We're happy to talk as long as it is civil and polite.
Yeah.
And respectful.
If you're like the butthole.
Who just wanted to argue about Christmas.
Yeah, I was like, what the crap? I posted a reel, which is the, what do we call this? The subset of reels that I have, which is called things that work for me that might work for you. That is literally what I say at the beginning. And I'm like, things that work for me that might work for you. Kitchen edition or kids edition or Christmas edition. Yeah. So what I said is that we've talked to Santa and Santa only brings gifts that fit in the stocking, right? For our young kids, there's not anything that they need or want that is expensive that would fit in a stocking.
Yes.
And so this person came back and was like, well, there's a lot of expensive things that could fit in. Like, what about teenagers or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, they were like arguing about like PS5s and Xboxes or whatever. And I'm like,
those won't fit in stockings. And I'm like, that's the point.
That's the point. That's the point that those things won't or whatever. And they're like, but there's also expensive things that could fit inside it. And I'm like, right. But they're like, so it should be both. And I'm like, that, yes. Like, oh my gosh. And so I was like, that's the reason I had Nathaniel respond to it. Cause I was like, I cannot handle this person.
But we responded to his first comment very politely, and we were like, yeah,
actually, was it a boy? Point.
I don't, their first comment, I have no idea. I don't know that it was clear from their profile.
I can't remember, but I do seem to remember that it was like a young man or something, but yeah. I don't know that that's
like,
true.
Explaining, clarifying a couple of points that he'd brought up, like, yeah, that's
right.
This is the point, and we're not saying we're not, that they don't get expensive gifts or that they don't get bigger gifts. It's just that that's not what Santa brings.
Right. And then you also said there's a reason that it's called,
like, things that might work for you.
Right. Like, it doesn't have to work for you. This is like purely a, let me put this out here. And if you like it, then great.
Because and then they came back with a second comment that was clearly just continuing to dig. And it was one of those, okay,
so then
stop
I
engaging
them.
With the hater.
Yeah, then I blocked them because I was like, nope, you don't have a space on me. And Instagram has now made it that if you block somebody, any other accounts that they have, they still cannot find you.
Really?
Right.
Nice. Yeah.
There was a lady, speaking of that, I think somebody blocked me. one time. Like, I messaged them a lot or whatever, and I was just like, oh, like, just like, you know, invested kind of a thing. Like, messaged them cute things or whatever, and loved seeing kind of where they were at. And then I realized, I was like, why can't I find them anymore? Like, why don't I see them anymore? And then I went to a separate account and looked them up, and I was like, oh, I think they blocked me. And that made me really sad, because I was like just trying to be nice and everything. Right. But I think it's still when things were coming to a head on Instagram. Right. Whereas like now that's kind of a normal thing for people to respond and continue to be like that. But I don't know if maybe she was like worried about the safety of her kids or something like that.
Right.
Or maybe they thought like they'd given away too much of their information or something. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah. So that was sad. So I do know what it's like to be blocked and everything, but I hadn't done anything like mean or anything like that. Right. It was just for whatever reason. I don't know. This is only a few years ago, actually. Which is interesting. Anyway. I can't remember why I brought that up. I remember what we were talking about because we went and looked it up.
Cheating.
We were talking about not everybody has the same opinion as you. Not everybody believes the same thing as you.
Right.
Yep. Because of that. So yeah. So not everybody believes the same thing, and that's okay. Don't come after me because you don't believe the same thing.
Yep.
Because I genuinely can say that for the most part, I love everybody. There are very few people that I'm like, don't have love in my heart for you.
I just hate everybody. It's more equal.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks a lot.
It's not true.
Yes, we do know this is not true. But all that to say, like, we don't always believe the same thing, and don't come after me on my Instagram because we don't believe the same thing. And I love you.
We both do.
Yep. I just, at this point in my life as an adult, I would say that as a teenager, right? I love everybody. And now as an adult, I'm like, no, I actually really do believe that. There are some people who do evil things that I will never understand. And I don't know that I actually have love in my heart for them and everything. But I know that it's the Lord who has to take care of that. And so I just try not to dwell too much on that. I tried to make the world a better place, though.
Right.
Okay, you're gonna do evil. Well, I'm gonna do good. You better watch out.
That's right.
I'm gonna love everyone.
Rawr!
Right. I just love you so much.
I just said I love you in dinosaur. Rawr.
Rawr. Rawr means I love you in dinosaur. Anyway, yeah. Because as you, like, as you look at people in, like, their lives, you just come to realize how nuanced everything is, and that people need so much help all the time.
Yeah.
And need so much love. And so at first glance, it's really easy to be like, oh, wow, you're such a jerk.
Right. Yeah.
And then as soon as you
begin to understand anything about their situation.
Yeah. For instance, right, there is some person close to us who just announced that they were pregnant. And I talked to them pretty regularly. And we'd been talking about how we've been trying to get pregnant and everything. And when they announced it, I hadn't really been able to tell them everything that had kind of happened, that we were like, well, maybe we are, maybe we're not supposed to have any more kids, right? I hadn't really been able to talk to them about that. And then they announced it, because we were with them and everything, and it was like really super exciting, but it was hard, and I was really frustrated. I was so frustrated. I was like, oh, why? But nobody knew. Nobody knew except for you in the group that we were in. And I was like, it's okay. You are happy for them. You are happy for them. And that's what you need to do. So later, I was like, and I told them that I was like, it was hard, right? Like, it's hard watching this and everything. And everybody is pregnant right now.
Yeah, they
are. Everybody is pregnant.
Everybody and their dog.
And rabbits. and cats and hamsters.
Rabbits and hamsters live in a constant state of pregnancy if there's any possibility of them getting pregnant. So, yeah.
And so it's just like every single time it's just like gut punch and everything. And
yeah.
And so it's hard and everything. But then after she had kind of explained, she's like, well, we weren't actually sure that everything was okay with the pregnancy because it's so different. And like her last pregnancy, she was super sick. And this pregnancy, she's not as sick. And so they're like, well, am I miscarrying? And so they were really worried. And so that's why she hadn't talked to me about it. Because she did know that we were trying and that we had miscarried. And she knew the whole story. And so, like, the only reason, like, she hadn't been more frank with me that they were, like, trying and stuff like that. And or that they were pregnant specifically, I think. Well, I may be remembering this wrong. But that she was just really worried.
Yeah.
They both were worried that something maybe had happened. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And like, I had that perspective, right? But if I had just like lashed out.
Right.
And gotten angry and just been like, oh my gosh, like this is just so frustrating.
Yeah.
Right. And so as I have been recently as I have recently learned better, right? There's no place for anger in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so we have to learn to not take that out on people and to not take that with us. Like anger has no place. So we have to learn how to live.
Right.
In a way that doesn't anger us, how we learn to control our emotions so that like that is not part
right.
of that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, we should probably wrap it up for the night.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a little on the long side now. Are people even gonna listen to the end?
Who knows, man. We do have quite a bit to cut out, though.
That's true. There is a decent amount to cut. So
sorry. Sorry for talking so much. You can tell that I talked. Actually.
It's not too bad.
You talked quite a bit.
Yep.
Yay. We're getting better.
Yay me. I can talk.
We'll do a movie quote at the beginning, and then we'll do a talk recap at the end. Where we look at the sound bites.
see how even the conversation has been.
Yeah. I definitely still average. Talked more.
Yeah. Well, and there's definitely stretches where I was more quiet than others. But
yeah. Yay. Anyway,
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Let's make it a great one.
Let's make it a great one. We're going to have 52 podcasts this year.
Here we go.
Which, depending on how much we actually podcast, we should have. We'll have a lot and everything saved up.
Yeah, if everything works the way we hoped.
Well, we shall see. It might not actually happen, but that'll be okay. Not every Wednesday necessarily. So that's okay.
Anyway, we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.